Open up to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to exhort over the offering for a moment. I could tell from what he allowed me to speak this morning in about 30 minutes that we're not going to be teaching much milk this week. So I hope you came expecting some beef. Okay, and so... Before I even read this verse, I want to just say this. It's really hard, even though you love the Lord with all of your heart, it's hard to learn how to follow Him financially sometimes and to make Him truly Lord, even over the areas, even over your financial life. In Matthew 6, the Lord says, you cannot serve God and mammon. He doesn't say you can do it with great difficulty. He says it's impossible. And I have found in my Christian walk, nearly everything that the Lord tells you to do, mammon, by its reasoning, says you can't do that. Now, there's two ways you can spend your life serving money. Most of my life before Jesus was spent running after this stuff. And I've told you plainly, my life was about money, and every decision I made was, is this going to improve our status in life? What kind of house are we going to live in? How are we going to educate our kids? What kind of car are we going to drive? In those days, I was very career-minded. I do have an industrial engineering degree, and if I'm working for a company and they offered me a $25,000, well, it wouldn't even have to be that much. They could offer me a $15,000 a year raise, you know. But you got to move to some deserted place where there's not a decent church for my children within 100 miles, and it wouldn't make any difference to me. $15,000 a year, you bet you, we're on our way, you know. Well, that's one way to serve money. But then a lot of ministers, once you get saved, and they really do kind of get set free from that, and now you really want, and it's not just ministers, it's you too. You guys are not here because you're wanting to barely make it into heaven. You're here because you're trying to learn how to lay down your life even more to serve the Master. See, isn't that right? Am I talking to the right group? Well, even after you love the Lord and money is no more your motivation, there's the second way that you wind up serving mammon is the Lord will tell you to do something. And without really, you don't ever use these words, but you hear Him. Let's say you've done this message enough where you finally hear the Lord. See, most people, they have a big problem. I can't hear the Lord. They do this message about 6 months and they got a bigger problem. What's your problem now? I heard the Lord. And you're not going to believe what He said. And I'm going, yeah, I probably will too. Expensive, isn't it? He talks to me like I have money. He talks to me like all things are possible. He talks to me like that, and I'm going, and we don't mean to do this, and I don't mean we say these words, we don't, but He'll tell you to do something. And you don't actually say it, but it's like you turn around to, okay, thank you, I heard you, Lord, okay, yes, Lord. But we turn around to our other god, mammon, bank account, checkbook, wallet, purse, and you go, can we do that? I'm telling you right now, mammon will always say no. Said no, you better save that for a rainy day. You remember what happened the last time? You know, yeah. Well, the transition for Sue and I've not ever found it to be real easy for anybody, and I'm not exhorting you to do anything foolish, but I am exhorting you to be fearless when it comes to doing what the Lord really says to you. Okay, He is. Have you found out He's determined to be Lord of your life, including your finances? See, well. One of the most commonly quoted verses amongst Christians, I used to take this survey all the time. Now, most of you have heard enough of my messages, you know the answer. But you know that verse in Philippians where it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me? I used to take a little survey. I'd say, now, what was the subject matter when Paul said that? What was he talking about? Very, very few of them could ever tell me what it was. You know, I can do all things. I mean, it just doesn't matter what it is. I can do all things through Christ. Yes, but what was he talking about? What was the subject matter? You probably already know, but let's look at it. First law of meditation is you don't lift a verse out of its setting, and that means not ever. It means what it means in the setting God gave it, and it doesn't mean anything else. So, of course, we're talking about Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. But let's back up a little bit to verse 10. And really, the whole letter of Philippians, what this is, it's a thank you letter. They had the Philippian church, which is the chief, Philippi was the principal chief city of Macedonia. They had been Paul's financial supporters, his number one financial supporters for years. You can even read over in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, I robbed other churches in order to serve you for free. The Macedonians, once and again, they sent to my need. Well, that's this church. And they had found Paul again. They had sent an offering by the hands of a man named Epaphroditus. That's all in here. And this is basically a thank you letter with some instruction and teaching. And he's thanking them for their gift. But here near the end of it, he says this. Verse 10. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that's a little King Jamesy. What he's saying is, I know you wanted to help financially the whole time, but you didn't know where I was. I mean, you know, we didn't have email in those days. Didn't have GPS, and they lost track of where he was. Well, they found him again, and so they took up an offering and they sent it. He says now, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, I'll just stop right now and tell you, that learning process is hard on the soul. Sue, can I get a witness? In those first 2 or 3 years that I described this way, that's in the days when money was staying away in great abundance. We learned some lessons. We learned these things. It's not, the soul is not, the natural soul is not content when there's lack. It's not. Notice Paul says, I have learned. You see that? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whatsoever state, therewith to be content. And he goes on to describe it. I know both how to be abased, and I also know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And in that context, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So what he's really saying is, I appreciate the gift. You've done well. But you should know this. I'm going to do what he called me to do, whether you give or whether you don't give. Because I've already found out money is not my Lord. Christ is my Lord. And I've learned, we had to learn, my soul is still happier when there's abundance. But I have learned to be, we have learned to be content. He has not forsaken us. Have you noticed we didn't starve? You know? But you have to get to that place, and it's not easy. And you don't have to be a full-time minister either. You can come to the place, I'm telling you, it's wonderful, wonderful to be free from fear regarding finances. To trust, to have that same confidence in you, whatever the master tells me to do, I can do that. And I don't have to turn around and ask money. See, what happens to you, you develop this attitude. Money serves me as I serve the Lord. Bronk was actually exhorting over that same thing. The principle is this, seek you first the kingdom. Let's say it a different way. Seek you first to obey the king. And all these things shall be added unto you. There won't be any lack. You'll learn just like Paul. Now he goes on here and he says, now notwithstanding, you have well done. It's a good thing to give to support the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? There are some that are called to be preachers. There are some that are called to be senders. And the reward is exactly the same. You have well done. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church... Now get this. I remember the first time I heard Jim preach this one. I wish I'd have said this one first. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. And let's stop right there. All those churches he went to, none of them were supporting him financially. None were giving into his ministry. Do you know what that teaches you? He certainly wasn't telling them they were under a curse if they didn't give to him. And he certainly wasn't preaching they'd get some kind of debt-breaking hundredfold reward if they did. Otherwise, they would have been given. I told you, beef. That'll chew on that for a while. And verse 17, I'll try and close with this. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now see, that fruit, I think most of you are mature enough to know that that fruit, really... See, why hasn't the Lord come back yet? What's He waiting on? We're plainly told He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Paul's desiring fruit that abounds to their account. The sender receives the same fruit as the preacher. That's the fruit. My son-in-law... At the time that he was a Ramus. We're on live, aren't we? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. He was a student at a famous Bible college. I love Rhema. Don't get me wrong. I love Rhema. I appreciate Rhema. This particular instructor, and I really don't know who it was, but this particular instructor, my son-in-law taught this just almost verbatim the way I've just now done it. And talking about that fruit being the precious fruit of the earth, he got rebuked by the instructor. And says, no, he's talking about their hundredfold return or their reward on their giving. He says, if they believe that, if they believe that that's just fruit, people being saved, I don't think people will give. My Lord, people. My Lord. All right. I'm sorry. I really didn't. I apologize. I really did not mean to do that. I forget we're on live. I'm used to editing my tapes. So when I do bonehead things, I can edit it out. Anyway, I didn't really intend to do that. All right, we're about to give. Now listen, what am I saying? What's the point of all that? We appreciate your giving. We think, we believe that you guys are just as important to what we do as what we do. And nowadays, every dollar you give is magnified like the loaves and fishes. Because with the MP3s and the internet and the messages, how they go around the world now, every dollar you give, the effect that it has on this world is much more than a dollar given even 50 years ago. So all we're saying is thank you for doing your part to help us do our part. Amen? When you give, it's for the kingdom. It's for the King, precious fruit of the earth. As you seek first to obey, but I'm telling you, a good prayer is, Lord, make me your servant and never the servant of money. Say it with me. Money serves me,
money serves me
as I serve the Lord.
As I serve the Lord.
Amen.